This reading is from a novel in progress entitled Cities of the Red Night. And this passage concerns a virus which occasions biologic alterations in those who survive. And these alterations are genetically conveyed, giving rise to a race of mutants known as the fever freaks. Some of these mutations are favorable and some otherwise. A top government official bluntly warned, virus B23, now loose in our overcrowded cities, is an agent that produces biologic changes in those affected, fatal in many cases, permanent and hereditary in those who survive and become carriers for that strain, which, as a matter of survival, they will spread as far and fast as possible to destroy enemies and, quite literally, make friends. Junkies, however, are only lightly affected by the virus and remain characteristically unchanged.
13 inches.
Everyone. Hey, audience. It's Madge here, and I'm a lesbian with food allergies and a mask. But I'm taking it off. Because, oh no, there's a virus fountain coming. I better put it back on. A child. And another child. But there's the chickens across the street. I would love to hear the chickens. But they don't always gobble. Wait, no, they don't go. Chickens don't gobble. They do their thing. What is that sound called? Gobble gobble? No, that's a turkey. They do a buck, 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 buck. Yeah, I think that's what they do. Uh-oh. Oh, they're busy. They're busy. They're eating. Let's see, chuckums. Hello, chuckum. Muck, 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 muck. She don't want to talk to me, and there's some lesbian talking to her dog near me. I don't want her to hit on me, you know what I mean?
Muck, 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 muck.
Oh, it's a big brick of food. That's what that is. How amazing. Yeah. Oh, here they are. Ah, they're busy. They're cleaning themselves.
Muck, 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 muck. Okay.
Yeah. Oh, wait. She's talking.
Are you talking?
Muck, muck. Muck, muck, muck.
Bitch don't want to talk to me. Anyway, so far, a fascinating podcast audience. Oh, that's a gross sound. No, I don't COVID out. I don't know. I'm trying not to COVID because, as I mentioned earlier, when I was scrolling through my podcast turd, taking off this mask, there's nobody here, I found out that everything is COVID related. But then when I try to talk about, what else is there to fucking talk about, right? My vagina. Oh, I know what I can talk about. The sauerkraut that I made on the previous grum. Today's Thursday. So much breathing. It's today's Thursday, and so the sauerkraut is done. So just before I made this recording, I basically, she was out on the counter for 4 days, and I opened her up and ate it out. No, I pulled out the things that were used to create pressure, the extra pieces of sauerkraut, and I, put them in the garbage, and then I ate it out. No, I didn't. I mixed it up a little, tasted it, was delicious, and put it in the fridge with the orange lid that had hitherto been on it. And I have nothing to talk about, so I'm just going to go into great detail about my sauerkraut grum holding. Everyone knows it's lapsy. So, yeah. Anyway, I guess I have to talk COVID since, I can't really edit myself. I do that enough. So, you know, people talk about evergreen podcasts, right? Where it's like, you have something that's timely and it never changes, meaning you don't talk about topical things. So if you don't talk about topical things, then I guess the mask is good because it keeps me from breathing into the mic anyway. But if you don't talk about topical things, like matters of the day, then it's evergreen. Like Woody Allen, his comedy routines are evergreen because he doesn't talk about politics, right? Oh, a little tiny dead Boyd. It was a baby, and now it's dead. Yeah. So many puppies. Anyway, so evergreen podcasting. Right. Evergreen. Is that a Barbara Streisand album or something? Or song? I don't know. I'm going to go through this alley because I don't want to be on Halsted Street where there's a lot of people. I feel self-conscious. Although there won't be a lot of people. Anyway, but he said, you know, things are... The conventional wisdom, as it were, is that when something is evergreen, people will listen to it forever. And if it's topical, they won't. So he says, like, according to that, like, nobody's going to listen to a comedy routine about the Kennedys or the Johnson family. There used to be a lot of them back then. My point is just this. Maybe it's bullshit, because when I listen to old stuff, I like topical things. I think it's fascinating to listen to old, you know, shows where they talk about what was going on. I think it's much more interesting to hear about, I don't know if it's a mental thing or what, but I feel like I can't breathe when I have this mask on. I feel like I'm breathing in my carbon dioxide. But I mean, there's nobody around, right? So it's okay. I think it's just I'm too obese. Fat people can't breathe with a mask, maybe. Anyway, whatever. Like a rose, soft as an easy chair. Woof, woofed. Nya, 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 nya. Anyway, whatever. Like a rose, soft as an easy chair.
Yeah, I kind of prefer the casual.
I wonder, though, if the mask thing has basically become the new MAGA hat. Like, I wonder, like, the people that are wearing masks, maybe they're Democrats? And the people that are wearing no masks are Republicans. I just put it back on again. Yeah, I feel like I'm breathing in a paper bag. Is that my imagination? This whole thing is so fucked up. I'll just go home. They're talking about opening our office again and up again in June next month. Yeah, you know, fuck Evergreen. The thing is, I do what I want, right? Soft as an easy chair. Because, yeah, a big reason that I do this show is so people can know how it was like, what life was like. I just saw myself in a reflection. How horrible. To know what life was like right now, I can't. It really is causing a reaction for me. I'm sorry. And there's no people around. Why am I rationalizing this to you? But in some ways, you know, it's interesting because, like, all of our virus protection is invested in maskism. You know, in the masks. And I feel like people use that as an excuse. It's like, oh, we don't have to worry about our airports. Like, there's planes flying overhead all the time. Look at Flight Tracker or whatever. There's an app that shows you which planes are flying over you. And there's just, at any given time, there's just tons of planes. Tons. Dozens. Hundreds, maybe? I don't know. A lot. There are a lot of fucking airplanes flying around with people. And if you go to the airport's there. And they just, like within just this month, decided that masks are a good idea for airplanes and made it mandatory. And even then, it wasn't the FAA that did it. It was just the airlines decided. So we have this fucking pandemic. But it's not required for people to wear masks on airplanes legally. It's so fucked up, right? It's all this free enterprise nonsense. The thing, it's like the whole fog of war thing. We're in it. I'm sure if somebody's listening to this after it's over, they could probably look at me and say, well, why not this, this, and this? How come you don't see this, this, and this? How can people think this way? But being in it, I can tell you that it's so fucked up. The main thing that I'm noticing lately is that the reporting on this disease is horrible. Like, as far as like reporting on what the actual disease is and research and what it does to the body, there's this doctor. I watch his YouTube videos. They're phenomenal. His name is Dr. Hansen. I can't remember exactly the link, but his videos are phenomenal. And he goes into detail, and he's, I think, a pulmonologist or something. And he goes into great detail with pictures and charts and, you know, even autopsied organs, and shows the incredible damage that this virus can wreak upon a human body, a human. And, you know, yeah, I guess sometimes it doesn't do much, but sometimes it just fucking just completely destroys the organs. It's just horrible. And this virus grabs onto certain receptors and cells in various organs, not just the lungs. And what it can do is it can directly harm an organ or organs by going and, say, attaching to your kidney or something, destroy it that way. Or because of what it does to your breathing, you know, because of what it does to the lungs and the lung function, that it deprives your body of oxygen. I mean, your organs. Sorry, there's just a lot of visual distractions here. But what it does to your organs. So it can do things to your organs by attaching to them directly and kind of harming them greatly. Or by going to your lungs and reducing the amount of oxygen you can bring into your body, it destroys the organs indirectly that way by depriving them of oxygen. And this guy, this Dr. Hansen, who's very good looking, by the way, he goes into great detail describing how this works and how talks about how complicated the mechanisms this virus uses are. I mean, it destroys a lot of systems using a lot of different mechanisms, so it's not that easy. But if you watch the news, you think it's just, oh, it's just a matter of getting a pill and a vaccination. And then there's this remdesivir, right? This drug that supposedly has some promise. And I was reading yesterday about how my vagina itches. I didn't read about the itch. I just know that from the itching. But the remdesivir is only going to, like, certain hospitals, and it's very, what's the word? Cloaked in secrecy, I guess. So the government, the federal government, of course, is not discussing how they decided. And even some of the people at the hospitals where it's going don't know it's going there. So the bottom line is only rich people are going to get remdesivir, and only probably politically connected people. And, you know. So what we are in, we can't really see right now because we're so in it, but it's horrible. Yeah. So many people that are dying don't have to. And not to mention this economy thing. And the thing is, like, you know, all these people talking about the reopening the economy. And they have this underlying assumption that if we reopen the economy is going to get better. And that's just the sacrifice you have to do for, you know, so you have to sacrifice some human lives for the economy, right? But the premise is just false and unproven. The premise is that will work. That the economy will get better if we go back to work even before the disease is stopped. And that's just false. There's no evidence of that. And in fact, it's very likely that the opposite will happen. That the economy will get even worse if opened back up. I mean, yeah. Wait, how did I get here? This is the Jewel. I didn't want to go to the Jewel.
Oh, I need to...
God, I've been talking for 15 minutes. I haven't said a goddamn thing. Oh, jeez. I want to talk about this Jewel. So this is the Jewel at... what is this? Brompton and Broadway in Chicago. And this Jewel killed a friend of mine. Well, somebody I hadn't seen lately. And I didn't find out... I didn't put the dots together till much later. But I read about a allegedly homeless person who... was caught shoplifting at this Jewel, and some 400-pound security guard was trying to, hold him down and suffocated him to death with his disgusting fat body, right? And I had read about it, and I had tweeted about it a little bit, and then a few months later, recently, I saw that a picture of the person, I realized I know him, somebody I used to spend a great deal of time with in the 90s. So it was very upsetting. And then, you know, I reported to Democracy Now. I sent them a few emails. I sent to the news, I think, tweeted about it. Nobody picked it up, you know. And there's a story that's been going around about the black guy that got killed for the 800th time in Georgia, which, of course, that should be the horrible story. These people get lynched, and it needs to be reported. It needs to be big news. But this one was horrible, too. And first of all, he wasn't shoplifting. I don't know what he was doing, or maybe he was, but he certainly doesn't deserve to be killed for it. But this person I knew, he was a Cuban guy, and he used to send medications to Cuba. I'd help him do it. You know, like, oh, help me. I need to send this medication to my family in Cuba. He was a very kind, sweet person. So if he was shoplifting, it's probably because he was starving. But I haven't kept up with him, so I have no idea. So there's that. And that. And that. But, gosh. So he's dead because some fat security guard leaned upon him, squashed him to death. And nobody will fucking report it. It got the news like one day in December, and that was it. So if the news doesn't pick up on the story, it just dies, and it's like it didn't happen. Anyway, you can Google it. His name is Eugene. I don't even remember his last name. Or Eugenio in Spanish. I don't remember his last name. Guzman, maybe? No, doesn't sound right. Anyway, if you're interested in picking up the story, let me know, and I'll find it for you if you can't find it. But it's the Jewel Osco and... Broadway and Pussy Willows, Brompton Gable. in Chicago, Illinois, 60657. It's getting hot out. I wore my lesbian pantsuit. It's a matching black with black, like a tracksuit. It's very Russian mafia. Actually, the brand is, Girdle. The brand is Nasty Pig, because we have a friend and he buys expensive clothes and then he gives them away because he's rich, and he gave me a Nasty Pig outfit. Fortunately, I'm the same size as him. Obese. Size O. Obese. So, I mean, don't go to the Jewel. Don't shop at Jewel. If there's anything I can get you to realize out of this podcast is that Jewel kills people. Jewel kills my friends. Don't shop at the Jewel. It's a horrible place. I know I've talked a lot about the Jewel, the various Jewels throughout the years. But this is a particularly bad Jewel because it murders people with fat security guards. Via fat security guards. First Matt Peters, now this. Well, actually, this happened in December. I guess from the comments in my last podcast, a lot of people didn't know that Matt Peters had passed away. But yeah, it's true. Here, what does this sign say? Hemp is hope, not dope. Wine? Wake and Bakery gets sconed. That's nice. I guess it's CBD pastries. Anyway, thus and so. It's actually getting hot out. The problem is if I take my tracksuit off, my shirt, I can't do it because I have a mustard stain on my t-shirt underneath. And it's very offensive. And I look like even more homeless. Though I do have this expensive-looking recorder on my vagina. Yeah. Oh, here's an income tax preparer. Yeah, so we have that. COVID-93. It reminds me of a radio station. COVID-19 on your FM dial. Yeah, we're throwing some virus at you. We're going to murder you with tissue damage and stuff. And pulmonary embolisms and blood clots. Right here on COVID-19. Next up, orange presidents making it worse. Or whatever. But the thing is, you don't get to hear reporting on COVID unless it's as related to your political assuasions. So news only, because that's what people want to hear, and it's a capitalist news society, which means you're only going to get news reported that people are willing to pay for using their attention so that advertisers will pay money. COVID-19 on your FM dial. Yeah, coming at you. Yeah. I'm Blondie. The tide is high for COVID-19. Yeah. Here we go. Flock of Seagulls with COVID-19 on your FM dial. I don't know what else. Okay, I'm turning on to Elaine Place. This used to be the big gay cruise street. They used to have giraffes on the corner, but that ended for some reason. The giraffes are gone. I'm going to cross the street because I don't want to get diked on. Oh, tree people. I'm going to walk in the street. Fuck it. Mayor Lesbian still has the parks closed. But I know other cities have left... They've closed off certain city streets so that people can walk in the middle of them and have more room for the social distance, which I think is a great idea. But I was starting to talk earlier about how, like, at the beginning of this crisis, it was all about social distance and shaming. So it was social distance shaming. Now it's mask shaming. And I have nothing against the premise of that, sort of, but not really, because it just seems like we're investing everything into that one thing. Like, okay, so Governor Cuomo yesterday said that I think 66% of all new cases in New York today are coming from people who are socially isolated at home. So how is it that most cases are coming from people at home And I think what's happening is you have this reliance on these two things, right? Oop, I farted. The masks, the social isolation. And the way that the zeitgeist sort of talks about it, it's like you have to do this or you're going to get the disease and spread the disease. Unfortunately, the reality is even if you do those things, you still have a good chance of getting it. If you leave your fucking house, you have a good chance of getting it. And maybe that's fine. You're going to take the risk. I'm obviously taking the risk right now, right? I'm outside because I'm going fucking crazy. I don't know how long this shit's going to last. But you know what I mean? Like the whole false... If there's one overriding theme of this show, it's just kind of this sort of disgust at the way the world, or I didn't say the world, but my world just constantly turns reality into a cartoon. It's a cartoon reality. Just everything's presented in a way that is just bullshit. It's all fake. Like oversimplifying everything. Just everything's just dumb and not real. It's just fucked up. How can I explain it better than that? I can't. Even though that's a terrible explanation. But I just feel like we're in one of those... And it's not even a good cartoon. It's like those shitty Saturday morning cartoons you used to watch because you're just desperate to watch something. Me, desperate to watch something, you know? So I'd watch the shitty cartoons that are done in like 5 minutes. Not like Bugs Bunny or something, but it's like some dumb cartoon you've never heard of and it's with real shitty animation. Very little creativity put into it. Just kind of... That's the kind of cartoon world this is. Horrible. Just a bad cartoon. Little effort. You know, a lot of it is something I would blame on the capitalism, but nothing's that simple. Can't blame it on one thing, but... I don't know. I guess it's just the sort of inevitable horribleness of the universe, if nothing else. You know, we're all just disintegrating. The whole thing is just a big explosion that doesn't make any fucking sense, and we're just here, right? But then you can use that as a rationale for being fucking evil. I don't know. Maybe I'll just not talk for a minute and let you hear the sounds of the city. Hot damn, summer in the city, girdled pretty. I'm just going to do that. If I think of something, I'll say something. It's funny, when I put my mask on, I have this, the same feeling I used to have when I was a younger gal in the 80s, and everybody's wearing eyesods, and I couldn't afford eyesod, but I think I got one once, I put it on, it was like this, the same feeling, like now I'm accepted. Got a big ass nose. At least this mask has a wire over your nose. It makes it a little better. Is the Starbucks open? How about that? It sure is. Oh my god, there's people in it. Wow. And they're not wearing masks. Hot damn summer in the city. Maybe I should get a Starbucks. Maybe I should. Maybe I should. Oh, there's Gina's little dog. That's cute. Not that Gina, different Gina. No, I'm not gonna get the coffee. What a pain in the ass. No. Hot damn summer in the city. But that one just opened the other day, that Starbucks. girdle. This conversation is gertile. Good. Hot damn summer in the city. Pretty. But honestly, I'm looking forward to going back to work, to the office. I guess we're going to go half-time. In the beginning, at least, starting in June. I'm not going to take CTA. I'm not going to take public transportation if I have to. If it's raining, I'll just work from home that day. I'm going to ride my bike. I'm not going to do that, finna. Not finna do that. Not finna do that. The trees are pretty. The other day I rode my bike to Anturdsonville, and on the way I stopped by my old house on Magnolia, 4818 North Magnolia, and I looked at the front yard and all, it was tulips. I want to see if the tulips bloomed. Hey! And so far, all the tulips were bloomed. Bloomed. In bloom. That I planted 20 years ago. At least I think so. The front yard looked exactly the same. In the back, it looked different. The magnolia tree was gone that I planted. That was a little upsetting, but not really. And, anyway. Right. So beautiful out. This weir. This weir is so lovely. Hot damn summer in the city. That was my lesbian wife earlier, tapping me on the shoulder. I thought it was bird shit. I thought a bird shit on me, and it was my wife. How about that, ladies and audiencing? How about that? How about that? Ladies. Oh. Mm-hmm. There she is. You don't go after her. She's a straight man. Oh, quoi. Griddle. Anyway, all right, audience. Talk to you later.
The basic idea of language as a virus has been widely used and quoted from several of Burroughs' interviews. Here is a passage from the text. I suggest that the spoken word as we know it came after the written word. We may forget that a written word is an image and that written words are images in sequence, that is to say, moving pictures. My basis theory is that the written word was literally a virus that made the spoken word possible. Dr. Kurt Unruh von Steenplatz has put forward an interesting theory as to the origins and history of this word virus. He postulates that the word was a virus of what he calls biologic mutation, affecting a biologic change in its host, which was then genetically conveyed. One reason that apes cannot talk is because the structure of their inner throats is simply not designed to formulate words. He postulates that alteration in inner throat structure were occasioned by a virus illness.
That's so common.